Hello, I'm Joshua Vickery.
And I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and welcome to Magic 107.7, and we are here representing From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
So that's why we are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. We're going to find out how they create and why, and how Orlando can benefit from a greater arts presence here.
And on each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Joshua.
It's so great to see you and be with you and have conversation with you. You know, you're always so kind every single week to give these superlatives that make me sound so great. But Mary, you just are a bright, shining star. And I really do feel so lucky to sit in this room every week and to talk to wonderful guests and leaders in our community and to hear you ask such genuine, authentic questions from the heart. I love it. I feel so lucky to be a part of this. And this show is going to be wonderful. But before we dive into our fantastic guest, you know, this is as you're driving home on a Sunday night or getting ready for another crazy work week or whatever it may be, or winding down from a week. It is Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
It's Sunday, the day before Memorial Day. And we just want to say a huge thank you to all the men and women who have served our country and are serving our country. And these are the types of freedoms we get to have because of your service. You know, here on this radio show, we thank you and salute you. And we are so very, very, very proud of what you do for our country.
Very much so. I'm from a military family. My mother served. My father, my mother is in Arlington National Cemetery. My dad and my brother as well, who flew B-52s. So shout out to all of you who served. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, too, it's we're wrapping up 14 days of the French Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So many wonderful collaborations and artistic expressions and artists just doing their thing. You know, maybe because I'm in the arts community, I feel like the Fringe Festival just kind of takes over Orlando.
And I hope
it continues to do that.
Art is a celebration of life. And the same way we want to thank our servicemen and women, I also want to thank our artisans who are brave enough to come out and show what they've created, and kind of the yin to the yang here, right? A celebration of life through art.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and last week when we were on the show, I mentioned how I posted on my Facebook, hey, what are the shows we should go see? And it just lit up. I mean, every single person that has a show wrote on the Facebook wall because they're just proud of what they're doing. And so many of these shows were created from the hearts and brains and minds and souls of the artists who we do life with every single day here in our community. So not only do we salute all those that serve our country, we absolutely salute all of the artists who were a part of the Orlando Fringe Festival. Happy 25th anniversary.
Happy 25th anniversary.
Yeah, and keep creating great art. So we're proud of you.
Speaking of what we're proud of, we have an amazing guest today.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this guest. We had a chance to meet him back when we were doing our television show on Vision TV, but now we can go a little further on radio. Folks, we want to bring to you here on Magic 107.7, the program chair and artistic director of Valencia College Theater and the creative director and writer of Phantasmagoria Orlando and one of the coolest guys around that we know.
And.
Lord.
My jersey's coming out. And. But I suppose we should tell everyone his name if they don't know it. John Dadonna.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're great. We're so glad you're on the show, John. You know, we were just talking to you off the air about you're just one of those guys that everybody loves. You know, you have such great respect in the arts community. I think because you are a collaborator, you are a visionary, and you're a cheerleader. I think, you know, everybody knows that John Dadonna is cheering you on when it comes to creating art. Don't you think so, Mary?
Absolutely, he is.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit, John, what do you got your hands in right now? What are you working on? What projects? What's happening?
Too many projects, guys. I want to go to sleep. It's Memorial Day tomorrow. I want to sleep all day. No, there's a lot out there right now that so many different groups are doing. As you know, you already mentioned the Fringe Festival. We just performed at the Fringe with Phantasmagoria with our second touring show, Wickeder Little Tales, as opposed to Wicked Little Tales, which we toured with last year. And Valencia is just about to open two new shows in a couple of weeks here, which I'm working on with a playwright from England. And it's just so many things that are just happening all at once that it's like, you know, you run from one artistic project to the other artistic project to the other artistic project, and then you go home and you get on Facebook, and everybody is working on artistic projects. So it is just kind of this cauldron of all of that.
How do you stay so driven?
Coffee.
That is the key to life. Yes.
That's about all. You know, you wait. I have this thing that I do, and Dion does it too, where we just wake up and we're exhausted, you know, and we're like hobbling through the house to get ready, and we just all of a sudden look and just go, let's do it. And then we just do. You know what I mean? We literally say that out loud, or I say, that's it, and it just starts. Hmm. And you just keep driving yourself towards whatever that project needs to be, you know?
So if one of our listeners did not get to see your friend show, tell us what they would have experienced.
Oh. Wicked little tales, indeed. Phantasmagoria is a Victorian horror circus that we've been running for the last 7 years here in Central Florida. And in the last 2 years, we've started touring it. We've played Atlanta. We've played Baltimore. We take this show now, and the show moves to Ocala and then hopefully to Eustis, too. We're doing a booking up there. So we want to keep moving this around, just like a circus troupe would move. And we do tales of horror, and they go from whimsical to completely tragic. But we concentrate on works of literature. We don't go off into, like, you know, some of the gross stabbing type stuff. We do Edgar Allan Poe. We do this particular show. We did Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. We did How the Children Played at Slaughtering, which was from the Grimm Brothers. And that was in their very first book, and taken out because it was so offensive to the parents at the time. And it didn't appear in the book again until 2 years ago, as a matter of fact. And we're very proud of the fact that the first time we did it 4 years ago. So we actually preceded them republishing it. We are doing Sleepy Hollow. A well-loved tale from Washington Irving. And we also did Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which is a story we haven't touched since our very first show.
So, you know, I've been able to experience Phantasmagoria, and you really bring a lot of different artistic elements into the show. Tell us some of the types of things that you use. It really is like a circus. I mean, there's just a smorgasbord of wonderful things.
I like
to
that
experience.
Word.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. Yeah. Where is smorgasbord? It's going to start going into the advertising.
Right.
Actually, somebody once said that we were a tapestry, so I like tapestry.
Oh, I like
tapestry
that.
Tapestry works. You like that?
I like that.
So what we are is we're a group of people who got together to do one show. One show, one show only. And it went so well that the audience kept saying, what are you going to do next year? So the show started developing, just like Cirque du Soleil kind of did, out of the people who were involved. Mm. So we learned that these people did aerial, so we added aerial to it. We learned these people did fire, we added fire to it. We decided early on that the actors had to learn how to dance, the dancers had to learn how to act, we all had to learn how to fight with swords, we all had to learn the fire. So we all kind of trained and cross-trained each other. We do live music, you know, we do stilt work, we do circus arts, we add it all into the show, based on the people who were involved at that time.
And there's a lot of poetry and prose. It's very much like a dream because there's music playing and there might be slow movement with narration. There might be a scene between two people having conflict and then a song and then an aerial. And you're almost like in a dream state.
And, you know, that's kind of what it is for us, too. And we have this little trick that we do when we're rehearsing. We know we're Phantasmagoria. It just hits one night. You know, we're rehearsing and we're just actors working on this. And then one night it just goes, did you guys feel it? Oh, my God, that was Phantasmagoria. You know, and we go into this realm. And it's amazing when we're on stage because we're all characters within this realm. So it's not just the stories we tell. And we interact 100% as those characters. I interact with people as Byron. Dion interacts with people as Cimmerine. And that's what we do. So a lot of what you see on stage is well choreographed, pre-planned, and improv of the moment, based on the characters that we are,
and it's immersive.
We have a blast. It's
you
very
go out
immersive.
Into the audience. You literally sometimes they're right there next to you, going, "Oh, are they going to talk?"
Yeah. We're not just going to talk to you. We're going to probably climb all over you. Is what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's happened.
So, if you're listening for the first time on Magic 107.7 and From the Heart, you know we're listening. We're talking to John Dodonna, the genius and the brain behind Phantasmagoria. But are you the only creative force behind this? Is it a collaborative among the art? How does what we see and experience come to life?
It's everybody. Mm-hmm. I will write the shows. Josh Gohagan also has begun writing some stories for the shows now, so he helps a little bit with that. We have multiple directors who work on different things. You know, we have somebody like Seth Kabursky who comes in and does the overall, watches the overall. Mm-hmm. We have Kevin Becker who comes in and works with the vocal work and with the chorus work. We have choreographers. So Mila Makrova is our main choreographer. We also have additional choreographers come in. Bill Warner is our stage director in terms of combat. So he's the one who teaches us the knife work, the sword work, etc. Mary Spurlock, now Mary McKenzie. I have to get used to saying that. She recently got married. Mary McKenzie is our fire captain, so she teaches us all of that. So we have multiple people who have their hands in everything.
So Mary McKenzie just got married. She's your fire person. Did you go to the wedding?
Was there
fire there?
Mary, you're outed now, Mary, because originally she was keeping it secret, but then she made me put it in the program as Mary McKenzie. So now I guess I can talk about
public.
This.
I guess, walked down the aisle with a torch.
She did not yet. Her big wedding is coming up in the fall.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was just a small private wedding.
She can have that idea.
So if you're listening tonight, you love to play with fire or swords, then Phantasmagoria could be for you. But how would somebody get involved in this? Are there auditions? Is it people that you see out with these different gifts and talents that you invite? Or how does that work?
A little bit of both. You know, when we definitely see people out there when we're working, especially at special events. We have auxiliary members to the troupe now, and one of them is Vera Vermilion. Vera, you're getting a plug on the radio. Vera Vermilion is... She swallows swords, and she doesn't just swallow them. She swallows them and dances with them and then puts garden shears down her throat and hula hoops with a sword down her throat and then has somebody take it out of her mouth.
From the audience?
Yes, from the audience. And here's what's amazing, and this is terrifying, and she's the only one of my performers, and she knows this, that I can't watch her. I'll introduce her and then I'll turn around, because if you touch the sword, you feel her heartbeat because the sword is laying on her heart. It's so bizarre. So she has joined us and is an auxiliary member. We have magicians who have joined us. But usually what we do for the troupe itself is we have auditions. So we'll do yearly auditions. We usually get about 120, 140 headshots in for that. We bring probably about 60 people in for the actual audition, and that goes down to about 20 to 30 for the callbacks. We're in the middle of this process right now. We're going to be having callbacks in the next week or so after Fringe. And we'll be adding new members to the troupe from that.
So, Mary, will you be auditioning for this?
I think I'm busy that week. When is it?
Fire, swords.
Yeah, fire and swords, Mary. Oh, you could do that.
I'm still stuck on the audience member having to pull this thing out. Don't ever ask me that.
That's so cool, though.
That's awesome.
You know, as Phantasmagoria, as an audience member, those that might be listening that would go and check it out, what do you want them to take away from it? You know, of course, a great experience in the arts, but is there you're deep, John. Is there a deeper thing you want them to experience and take away?
Well, the sense of family, obviously. That's one of the things that we're known for, the sense of family. I want them to go away with an understanding of story, that stories are told for reasons, you know, that our fears, because obviously they're all horror stories, our fears are based on things in our real life, you know. You go and watch a story like Frankenstein, I'm sorry, but it doesn't compare to just turning on the television and watching television and seeing what's really happening in our world. You know, so we're tapping into like an inner fear that goes back to the dawn of time. Mm-hmm. And that's supposedly what this troupe is. We go back to the dawn of time and we've carried the stories through with us. So I definitely want them to have that, but I also want them to understand whimsy, which is why we never do just horror. We bring in the whimsical side, the playful side, the horror side. And then the one thing we always try to do is always causality to our actions.
Mm.
There is danger to bring these stories to life. And people need to realize that there is causality. So that is the deeper meaning.
And consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I love that. You know, we were able to do a collaboration with you guys with our orchestra. We owe you another collaboration.
I would love it. Oh, see, now you're the one who added
it.
I just wanted to say it.
We owe you another collaboration. But you brought A Telltale Heart to life as a story, and it really radically changed the atmosphere of an orchestra concert.
Hmm.
And
Absolutely.
It really showed the power of prose and the power of storytelling and how it can affect any arts setting. So why do you think storytelling is so powerful? I mean, you said it's nothing like, you know, watching it on a movie or whatever, but why is it so powerful?
Well, because it goes back to the campfire, you know, it goes back to people looking for safety. And what did they do? They crawled into their caves, they lit the fires, and they told stories around the campfire, you know? And so it goes back to that primal thing. You know, we want to hear these narratives because they're stories about life in general. Hearing the story of Victor and the creature reflects on us. It reflects on our hearts, our souls, our hopes, our dreams, And that's why storytelling has lasted forever. You know, it's never gone away. Live theater, live storytelling has existed for thousands of years. Oh, it's going to go away because of television. It's going to go away because of film. It's going to go. No, it has always existed.
Well, you have found an amazing way to tell a story because you make it visual, you make it heartfelt, and a mystery. We're going to be back with more from John Dodonna. In fact, when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit about his new haunted home. So stay with Joshua Vickery and I here on Magic 107.7 From the Heart. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm here with my resplendent, brilliant, big league co-host, Joshua Vickery on From the Heart. Today, we're speaking with the creative, the inspired John Dodonna, who's talking to us about Phantasmagoria and all things in his world. When we left a little bit, we were talking about things that are up in your life, and we've learned that you've recently gotten a new house. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. I've got a new house and a new roommate, as they say. So we were thinking in the fall, Dion and I were talking about going to find a house.
Tell us about Dion first so that everyone can know.
What would you like to know about Dion?
Well, if you can't see John's face, but boy, it sure just did light up.
And turn about as red as our microphone covers.
Dion is my... my partner in everything. Mm-hmm. Dion, we were friends for many years before we ever started dating, which was wonderful because we had that relationship already built in. She's in Phantasmagoria. She plays the role of Simarine in Phantasmagoria. What's really wonderful is that we have talents that complement each other but don't compete with each other. You know, mm-hmm. I'm an actor and a director and a writer. She is a dancer and an instructor, and she does, you know, teaches bar and stuff. So we kind of complement each other, and we never fight about any of those things because we just kind of help each other out.
You two are very romantic together.
I know. I love their Facebook posts.
They're like out of a movie.
Yeah. Sometimes it makes me sick, and sometimes it makes me just go, aww.
It makes me go, Jason, why don't you ever do this?
We love Jason, though.
Yes, we do.
And what's weird is that what you see on Facebook is what's like in our living room, too. I mean, that stuff happens in the living room, and it's so strange.
That's so fun.
But we just feel wonderful together, you know. Yay. So we wanted to find the house. You know, right now I own the house that I'm in right now, which is a nice kind of modern house. And so we wanted to find a Victorian or a colonial house. So during Phantasmagoria, during the very first weekend of Phantasmagoria in October last year, we were driving some friends of ours who had visited from Atlanta to see the show back to the house, and I was turned around in the car literally saying to them, so Dion and I are thinking about looking for a new house, and we're looking for a Victorian house or a historical house, and then I turned around because the light had turned green, and there's a for sale sign in front of the house that both of us have been in love with for years. Mm. When I moved to Sanford, it was the house that I was like, oh, why didn't I buy that house? And Dion, who grew up in Sanford, loved the house when she was 10 years old. So we went home and looked it up online, and I said, Dion, we can never afford this house. There's no way. And then I looked at it and went, ooh, we could afford this house. So we went and looked at it. It's a beautiful historical house. It's called the Ducati's House. It was built in 1925. It is huge. It's 5,200 square feet.
Oh, my goodness.
So
it's a warehouse.
it's big. It has a carriage house that comes with it. Above it was the servant quarters at one time, but it's a mother-in-law apartment now.
Wow.
And so we worked the price to an affordable one, and we purchased the house. And the day that we were going to sign for it, I turned to the owner, Robert, and I said, so is there anything you need to tell us about the house? And he went, what do you mean? I said, well, is there anything that happens in the house? And he clued in and went, oh, yes, because I guess he was afraid of telling us. He didn't know. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, there's the lady on the stairs.
Oh.
He said, I've never seen the lady on the stairs, he said, but my dogs would go running and watch somebody coming down the stairs all the time. Mm. He said, for me, I never saw anything, but everything would disappear on me. He said, I would lose my keys, and my keys would be put down in the kitchen. I couldn't find them, and then I would find them under my sweaters upstairs in the closet, that kind of a thing. So we went, okay, well, there's probably something here. We'll see what happens. New Year's Eve was the first time we saw anything. We were going back and forth because, you know, we're still working on the house. We're still not in the darn house, but it's New Year's Eve. We went to the house to check on it, and we both stood in the vestibule as we were leaving and turned around and just said, Happy New Year's, you know, and music started playing upstairs. Classical music in the bedrooms. And we're like, no, it's a car outside. And she's like, John, it's not a car. They'd be playing, you know, loud music. It's classical music coming from upstairs. And then it just shut off. And that started it. And there hasn't been a day that has gone by that we or other people haven't seen something in the house.
Were there radios up there?
No, there was nothing. The house is empty. Oh, there's nothing in the house.
Okay, first of all, my heart is beating like out of my chest.
We're at Phantasmagoria.
No, this is, everybody who comes to the house says to me, hey, you know there's something here? Hey, you know there's somebody on the stairs? That's the big one. Alexis Hewitt, who is my former stepdaughter. It's kind of fun. She works with us now, and she helps take care of the house. And she called me and said, Pops, there's somebody walking up and down the stairs in the house. Do you know that? And I'm like, yeah, I know. And the doors are open. The doors are closed. You know, we've actually watched doors swing from all the way closed to all the way and things like that.
Well, isn't it so fitting that Orlando's boogeyman would have a haunted house?
Thank you. Thank you. And I like that you're the boogeyman.
It's a loving ghost, though.
Well, that's
no bad feelings about this at all. In fact, the one time that I have seen her, now I've lived my whole life believing in ghosts, but I've never seen anything. I've heard things. I've witnessed things moving, things like that, or felt things, but I've never seen anything. We were standing in the kitchen, which we had to renovate the entire kitchen. We were standing there, and I was looking at Dion, and the dining room door was kind of in my peripheral vision. And all of a sudden, as far as Dion knew, I just stopped the conversation and ran to the door. She didn't know what was going on. I saw somebody walk into the doorway and walk out. Mm-hmm. Like they saw us and went, oop, I don't want to bother, and walked away. And so it's been ongoing. The contractors, when they're working on the house, they call me and go, she did it again, you know, because they watch her do things or they hear her or she has dropped over things. I guess I don't know if she likes the new tile in the kitchen. They called me.
So you don't know how she feels about the renovations
I don't
yet.
Know yet. They called me and said, okay, listen, the tiles were on top of a barrel. And all of a sudden, they just literally flipped over and smashed to the ground. And I said, in the back of my head, I'm saying, well, obviously they broke tile and they're using the ghost as an excuse, right? And so I said, what are you talking about? They said, no, we watched it lift up and slam down. I said, well, I said, so how many pieces broke? And they said, none. It didn't break. Oh. It just went flying off and smashed to the ground.
Wow.
So that night, I went into the house and said, okay, look. It looks different, but it's going to look good. You know, trust us. So she's
help
really,
me help yeah. you.
Exactly. So we've decided that we're just going to embrace it. You know, I've had people who have said, hey, could we come to your house? Could we, you know, do a seance? Mm-hmm. No. Could we try to get rid of it for you? No, we don't want to get rid of it. This is her home. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Ducati is who we think it is. She died in the house. Her husband didn't want to let her body go, so he kept it in the bedroom for a week. The family had to finally convince him to let the body be taken out of the house. So we're pretty sure it's her. You know, so it's one that makes common sense. Mm-hmm. And then Robert had told us that he found out about what these things were because a former owner of the house had come back to visit. And the first thing they said was, have you seen the lady on the stairs? Mm-hmm. So it's been going on forever.
Why do you think she likes the stairs?
Making a grand entrance, perhaps. Oh. It's a grand staircase. So it's like one of those old-fashioned staircases. The house was built, he was a lawyer at the time. And it's funny, the little details. He built it to be like his show home. Mm-hmm. He was a lawyer. He would have parties there and stuff. And you could tell because the floors upstairs are gorgeous, but they're pine. The floors downstairs are oak. So he said, I'm going to put the more expensive floors downstairs where my guests will be so I can impress them. You know, there's a button in the dining room on the floor. It's a brass button. So they could sit around the dining room table and with their feet push the button and nobody would know, so the butlers would come back into the room to serve everybody.
Oh, that's so cool.
Perfect home for
you. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun place.
And if you're just tuning in to us on Magic 107.7 with Mary Thompson Hunt and myself from the heart, this is not Ghost Stories with John DiDonna. But, you know,
but it's fitting.
It is very fitting. Because of what
when you were a child, I'm curious, is this a theme that's gone through your world? Because not only do you perform this type of work, but you're living it now.
Absolutely. I'm one of those people who just has been open to it my entire life. I saw the first thing that could be called a spirit when I was about 8 years old. And I was terrified, of course, you know.
But did this influence your...
Absolutely.
Okay, tell us about that.
It's created my a love for this and a draw to it because to me it's all happening all at once. You know what I mean? Nothing separates time for me. So like people in my life who have passed on, mm-hmm. like my grandparents, things like that, to me, they're still here. Mm-hmm. My Uncle Nicky is still here. It's like time kind of morphs for me, you know? So, it created my love and curiosity for these things. So when I was young and, you know, other boys were out in playing stickball on the streets in Brooklyn, I was reading, you know, the true tales of vampires and stuff in my room. So yes, that definitely has influenced me my entire life. And, you know, the old universal horror stories too.
And the creative side of you, has that fed that at all? The part of you that's become an artist, do you credit any of that to this?
I don't know if it's credited to that. I think that's more credited to members of my family who were really into the arts, like my Aunt Carol and stuff, who really kind of dragged me into, you know, to my first Broadway show. She took me to see The Wiz.
That was your first Broadway show?
Wiz was my first Broadway with Stephanie Mills, the original incarnation of it. And then my dad decided to take me to a Broadway show once because he was taking my mom for their anniversary, and she got sick. So he took me to a show called I Love My Wife, not knowing that it was a sex romp about switching couples, and I was about 10 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
So he sat there embarrassed going, oh, my God, during the entire show.
Did he really?
Yes, it was very funny. So with Joanna Gleason was in that. As a matter of fact,
that.
I remember that.
Monty Hall's daughter.
Hall's daughter. And so I was introduced to theater and those kinds of things from them, you know, from my parents and from my aunt. But no, the ghosts have been with me my entire life, you know?
You know, I'm curious. We just had such huge victories with Benoit and the White House and becoming a performance in a home. Do you think that's something that might be happening with Phantasmagoria in this haunted house?
Funny you should say that.
Oh.
Yes, we do plan on having performances in the house.
That's
we plan on doing a number of different things. We also know a number of chefs. And I've already hosted like huge chef dinners in the home that I have now. We're probably going to do that in this new house. And we've talked about kind of a Sleep No More Phantasmagoria experience.
What's that?
Yes. It's like a walk-along experience where you would go into one room and there'd be something happening in that room, then go into the next room. So kind of performance art-esque.
It's in New York City, you know? And it is crazy. You know? And I think Orlando would love that.
Yeah. So we've talked about doing that. The house, get ready. It has a basement. I am in Florida, in Seminole County, with a basement, and it has a full walk-in attic. So this is a haunted house, ready to go.
It really is.
Ben Rock, who was created the Blair Witch. He's one of the Blair Witch Project guys. He came to visit the house, and like walking down the stairs to the basement, he went, "Dude, can I film a movie here? Like really? Can I film like a horror movie here now?" And I went, "Sure," and I said, "But just wait till you get downstairs, because then you get downstairs into the basement." And the crawl spaces are wide open to go under the house. Wow. So it's like, you know, what demons are living there.
That's the title.
Yeah.
That's very
demons
cool.
Demons are living there.
Yes, there you go.
You know, and we could go on and on about Phantasmagoria because they're doing such incredible things. But let's just switch gears and talk about Valencia, you know, because that's a whole other life that you are so involved in. And hopefully we have some Valencia College students or Valencia College alumni listening in on Magic 107.7 FM here on a Sunday night. But tell us all about what you do there.
Well, I'm program chair and artistic director for the Valencia College Theater. And it has grown tremendously over the last couple of years. In fact, somebody who works with you, Donald Roop, is one of one of my instructors now. We have gone from 3 instructors to 11. We've added many people from the community, the Bobby Bells, the Tim Williams, the Robin Olsons, the Aradhana Tiwaris. So we have some really wonderful working professors working there at Valencia, which is a great experience for the kids. We are about to open 2 shows by Graham Farrow. Now, Graham Farrow found me years and years ago because a fellow playwright of his has suggested he look me up. I was I was willing to take on playwrights that did risky material, he was told. So he found me about 6 years ago and hounded me. "John, do one of my shows. John, do one of my shows. When are you going to do one of my shows?" And finally I said, "Well, why don't I just do them at Valencia?" So we're going to be premiering 2 of his works. One's called Rattlesnakes, and the other is called Talk About the Passion. Mm. And he puts people in these extremely unlikely, tension-filled situations. I've been saying it's like Quentin Tarantino meets the Twilight Zone almost in some ways. Mm. And they're very, very violent. He uses violence as a means of poetry. I would say. For example, Talk About the Passion is about a cynical, rich, or on her way up, I should say, book editor and publisher who has profited greatly. Her latest bestseller is about a serial killer who has slaughtered children. And what happens when one of the fathers of one of those kids makes his way into her office and traps her there? So that's that one. You know, and the other one, Rattlesnakes, is begins with a huge beating of a man that we find out is a male prostitute who has been sleeping with all the wives of the men who have trapped him here in this hotel room.
Oh, my goodness.
And what is revealed is too much truth.
And now this is all your children's theater, right?
This is my children's theater stuff, Children's theater. Yes, I do it with four-year-olds. No. This is my students' theater. These are the students at Valencia doing these. But they are not my children.
I couldn't resist, sorry.
Adorable, though.
So are these upcoming shows?
Yeah,
when are these and June how can 10th? We find about out, you know, get tickets or whatever?
Absolutely. They open June 10th, and they you can go to Valencia College's website, and they do offer the tickets there.
What's
on the box
What's the website?
Office. And you have valenciacollege.edu is our main website. Yes.
And where's that campus located?
The campus that I'm on is the East Campus. It's on Econ Trail.
Okay.
Yep. Right here in Orlando. We have multiple campuses, though. And somebody like Donald teaches at multiple campuses for us, as a matter of fact.
Okay. And Robin, too.
Yeah. Robin only teaches on this campus right now. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But we've got some good, like I said, my goal was to bring working professionals in. Mm-hmm. Plus, we do the Theater Salon series. We do workshop series, like coming up here very soon. I've got Bill Warner coming in to do a stage combat workshop. I've got Kevin O'Neill from Full Sail coming in to do an audition workshop. And I've got our good old friend Michael Winslow coming in to do a concert and a comedy workshop for us.
Well, when we come back, we'd like to hear a little bit more about that. We'll be right back in just a little while. Joshua Vickery and myself, Mary Thompson Hunt from The Heart on Magic 107.7. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Magic 107.7. My name is Mary Thompson Hunt. I'm here with my superstar co-host, Joshua Vickery from The Heart. We're excited as we bring to you all the things that are happening in the arts of Central Florida, especially today with our guest, John DeDonna, who's been just entertaining us as he's telling us about his life, Phantasmagoria, his new home that's haunted. And I mean, he's a wonderful storyteller, and we're so glad to have him here. John, there's so much more we want to ask. You were just telling us a little while ago about the home that you were in. It was something we had to leave right in the middle of that we were wanting to continue.
Oh, Lord, I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll come back a little.
It's almost midnight. We don't even know.
We were talking about the salons a little bit.
Salons.
We were talking about the salons.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
The Valencia salons. The Valencia salons are where I bring in working professionals once a month and have them do kind of like an actor studio Q&A with myself and with the students. We also are dedicated to working with the community on a regular basis. So all the salons we do, all the workshops we do, they're open to the community. You know, we just had a viewpoints workshop that we did with Aradhana Tiwari, and it was half students and half community members. Mm. You know, we love to do this outreach because it creates collaborations. You know, that's why we do that. And we you can find out about that by going to Valencia Acting Gym, which is a Facebook group. Thank you, Facebook. Valencia Acting Gym, where we announce a lot of that. And you can also go to Valencia College Theater, which is a page, and you can like that, like my page. You can like that, and you can find out about all of these that are available to the community.
Yeah. That's really the best way to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Facebook.
And find out where you are and how people can go and attend.
Absolutely.
It sounds like you do some amazing things. You have some great guest artists that come, and everyone can get on their feet and participate or sit and just observe?
They all do, and you know, you had mentioned earlier, you know, the idea of future projects. One of those has actually come out of one of these workshops. Becky Lane, who is an amazing puppeteer, has recently graduated from Towson University, and she's coming back down here. I've hired her to be one of our teachers. And in the fall, she's going to be doing a puppet workshop for us because she came in and did a, like, you know, one-day puppet workshop, and the students loved it. So I said, let's turn it into a full semester class. So in the fall, she's going to be teaching this puppet class. On manipulating puppets, how an actor works with puppets. In the spring, she's going to be teaching one on building puppets because it's all leading into our April show, which is a new original production that we're writing based around mythology, written very much in that kind of fractured storytelling style of Phantasmagoria that's going to utilize large-scale puppetry.
Mm.
So we've watched this evolve from a one-day workshop into a full production at Valencia by uniting and bridging with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real important. You know, when I was up at Syracuse University, it was the center of arts in Syracuse. You know, we had Syracuse stage there tied to it. When I was in North Carolina, UNCG was like the middle ground of all arts in North Carolina, in Greensboro. Here, I want Valencia to be that. You know, I want to create those bridges.
Well, I know that you are accomplishing that. We have a lot of students from Valencia that come and be a part of our community stuff, whether it be orchestras or choirs, especially our theater program. Mm-hmm. Donald's connected to you guys, and you are really creating some stellar, just citizens, but also really, really great theater lovers and performers. But, you know, why do you think, though, that you said you want it to be kind of a hub, but why is arts education and why is your role as an educator, because you do wear many hats, mm-hmm. why is your role as an educator so very important?
Carry it on. You know, I mean, I try to deal with theater and ethics and honor and values when I do my shows, even something crazy like Phantasmagoria. And I want to teach students on how to do their job admirably and honorably and in collaboration with others. You know, we foster that air of collaboration, and some students fall into it and some students don't. You know, some students do reject that idea of collaboration, and that's okay.
What do you mean ethically as an artist?
Ethically, the way you would treat people, the mm-hmm. way we treat subject mm-hmm. matter. You know, I watch sometimes, you know, a student will come into my class and I'll be discussing, you know, copyright, let's just say that. And they'll be like, oh, no, just... My high school teacher told me just edit it, cut anything out you want. No. There's a collaboration with that playwright, even though that playwright is not in this room. And that's something that we have to learn, how to deal with stuff, how to treat everybody
to
respectfully.
Honor that.
Yeah, and so that's something that we do foster a lot over there. You know, we make a big deal out of it.
I will
yeah.
say I appreciate that, because as artists, we are all teachers with everything we perform, right? Mm-hmm. And how we do that. And so you're upholding that as you're teaching the next generation.
Trying, yeah.
Because that's one way that we can influence society to maybe bring that into their work in our banks.
Absolutely.
And what I love that you just said, too, all the things you said you wanted to instill in your students isn't really things that you find in a textbook. Mm-hmm. I mean, integrity and mm-hmm. ethics mm-hmm. and collaboration are not really main topics in textbooks.
No, and we have amazing conversations with that, because that's what we have to rely on. We have to rely on those debates and those conversations about it, you know, you'll read something about copyright infringement on a show. There was a Jesus in India. That was the big controversy last year, where the guy changed all of the roles and things like that. Or Oleana, when they switched the role to a transgender, actually. And David Mamet was very angry about that. And so on one side, you're like, well, let's free up. Let's talk about transgender. And on the other side, it's David Mamet saying, no, I don't want you to do that with my work. Mm. Ooh, there are pros and cons to both sides mm-hmm. of that debate, you know? And so we bring it into the classroom and we open that up debate. That's not in a textbook. That's not in our syllabus. Mm-hmm. It is open conversation with the students.
There was a production yeah. of one of Tennessee Williams' plays where they wanted to do it interracially. I think it was Streetcar. And mm-hmm. he said no. Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, that's where it comes down to how certain things are done. So, but it brings up, I love the fact that that's important to you.
It is. And it's a value debate, because I don't have the answers. I can't tell you whether it's right to do Oleana one way or another way, mm-hmm. you know? Mm. So let's discuss it, and maybe as we have that discussion, you're going to form your own value system that you're going to follow when you're an artist and mm-hmm. you're out there doing things. Mm. So I think that is very important. So that's one of the reasons I love being an educator. It's sharing. And also, if you look at Phantasmagoria, half of the cast over the years has been my former students. Mm. We develop a working relationship, we develop a collaboration and a mutual respect, and we work together from that point forward, you know?
I love that you didn't give a cliche answer of why arts education is important. You know, really, you gave an answer of, I'm just making better people
yes.
through the art, you know?
Hopefully.
Well, if you're tuning in to us and listening to us tonight on Magic 107.7, Mary and I are just enjoying talking to John. But, you know, if you don't know John, which you need to get to know John, he's kind of one of the godfathers of theater. You know what I'm saying, Mary? Like, mm-hmm. if you need advice or you need a blessing, go see John, you know. But, like, you lead a lot of conversation. You lead a lot of discussion, especially in social media, about hot topics in the arts community. As we look ahead to the future, we look at, you know, we know that we're a creative city. Mm-hmm. We know that that is exploding right now. But what are we still lacking? What is this community lacking when it comes to the arts?
That's a great question. We do have a lot of support. I mean, Buddy Dyer supports the arts a lot. Patty Sheehan, I mean, we definitely have that kind of political support for us. So that's not lacking, that is for sure. I mean, funding, obviously. You know, a lot of groups find it hard to get started. Actually, there's my answer. A means to get there. Mm. You know, when I first came to town, I opened a small little theater, Claudiola Theater. And the second day I was there, a truck pulled up out back, and it was this woman named Elaine, and she worked at Theater Downtown at the time. And she had a truck full of lights, because she had just wanted to come by and help us get started.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Which was amazing, you know? We don't have a lot of that now. We have so many little groups that are starting, and they don't know how to find their way. And if there's anything that I would love to take away is the negative feeling of competition. I don't like that.
How do we do that, though? What's the answer?
I don't have an answer for that other than try to foster collaboration. And I know that does sound cliche. Well, foster collaboration, what does that mean? Simple. Just work together. That person who is young and who's starting out and wants to do a show, even if you don't agree with it or agree with their approach or the way they're doing it, you know, reach out a hand a little bit, maybe go see the show, maybe support them, because in 10 years you're going to be working with them.
And I'll add to that. Everyone says it's sort of what you've just said. Give what you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have collaboration, go collaborate with someone.
Yes.
If you want people to give to what you have, go give to something else. Because not because you're expecting it, but it does come back around. It teaches other people the difference it makes. Like hearing you say, she pulled up and said, I want to help you get started.
Yeah.
Someone out there is going to go, well, I could pull up with this and give it to someone, and then it's paying it forward.
It just keeps going.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And you know, I'm one of those people that believes in the generation of all of it, mm-hmm. that more theater does not necessarily split the audience. More theater builds the audience.
Creates
you know,
more audience.
The more people that go to see Phantasmagoria, the more people that are going to go to Central Florida Community Arts. Mm-hmm. The more people go to Central Florida Community Arts, they're going to go to the Dr. Phillips Center. It all works together.
That's
you
why
know?
The Fringe was just more successful than it's ever been, just everyone coming out more and more every year.
All those groups and all the new venues, too. All the off-site venues. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So,
I think we just talked about an incredible life lesson, and maybe you're listening in and you know that we're talking about the arts, but boy, that really can translate to anything in life, that the way to combat the negativity of competition is collaboration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, work together. Yeah. It really is.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh,
when people think,
God.
That's a good question, Mary.
Wow.
How do you
my legacy? Good stories. Really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that sounds simple, but good stories. I want people to, you know, one day, 40 years from now, be like, you know, I saw that show. And that moment stuck with me, and I still remember the way that was done. That's all an artist can ask for, you know, whether it is visual art or sculpture or writing. Just remember something from it. Let it become part of your life.
And what is something on your bucket list that you want to get to before you leave this world?
120. That's for sure. Yes. I want to live I tell people that, you know, when they sign those do not resuscitate orders, when I went to do my will, they wanted me to sign it. And I said, no. And they said, no, this is important. This is important. I said, yeah, I don't. I said, I'm an artist. Cut my head off, stick tubes in it, keep me alive, because I want to keep directing, you know, until I'm 120, as far as I'm concerned, you know. Bucket list. I don't know if I have one, because every time a new thought comes to me or a new inspiration, I try to do it, you know, right then and there.
Well, you know what? I was kind of being polite, but it's like, what's something you want to do before you die?
Oh, I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant. Be Indiana Jones. They say that everybody wants to be Indiana Jones. I want to be Indiana Jones for a year before
you
I
don't
die.
Want to jump wow. out of a, you don't want to jump out of a plane or anything crazy
no,
like that?
No. No, in fact, I never want to jump out of a plane.
You and me both, yeah. My friend.
Politics. Politics is something I have been giving a lot of thought to. I've been asked to run for office before, and I may just do that someday.
Why?
Same reasons that I like to be an educator, you know, to just kind of reach people and bring a community together that has, I've been getting more and more involved in Sanford where I live now, and that might be something that someday I would want to do, you know, and just see, okay, I'm at that weird age. Okay, I'm going to talk about some sad things right now.
Go ahead.
I'm at the age, I just turned 50. Where I'm starting to watch my friends go. Tommy Mangieri just died. Mm-hmm. And what Tommy doesn't know and will never know is that before he passed, before I even knew he was sick, I was worried about him. I wanted to make sure he was going to be okay. His dad was sick at the time. He didn't know if his dad was going to live. And all I kept thinking about and talking to very specific friends about was, what's going to happen to Tommy when his dad passes? I don't know. I want to make sure he's okay. So I think I want to see all my friends end up really good. You know, I want to see them safe and happy and in the life they would really like to lead. And you know, when Tommy died, because he just died just a few days ago, it's like, you know, this is a friend I've had for a quarter of a century. Half my life I've known this guy. And I hope that I can carry him with me to the day I die.
Tell everyone a little bit about him.
Tommy Mangieri was, I met him as an actor first, didn't even know he was a scenic designer, and worked on shows with him. And then I discovered he was a designer, and I went, good, you're designing all my shows. Right now, we're, you know, the trunks we use for Phantasmagoria, those are all painted by Tommy Mangieri, you know. We've worked together straight for 25 years. And that's
he's worked
amazing.
All over town.
Every theater in town mm-hmm. has used Tommy in some way and loved Tommy.
Loved
and nobody has ever fought over him. We've all shared him. And so he's a great loss to the community. And I hope that that love of what you do can stay with me. I hope one day that I'm designing a set and I go, wow, I made that look like Tommy Mangieri.
Well, I know when Tommy passed away, the entire artistic community mm-hmm. celebrated him.
Ugh.
And that was because, like you said, he had a spirit of collaboration. He supported everyone. It was,
everyone.
You know, really, may that be said of all of us,
yes.
You know, and incredible. There's a quote that you said, where the horror people grew up with, when you turn off the lights, light a candle, curl up in bed, and read a horror story. We don't want real blood. We want people to feel the blood.
Yes. Ooh,
you said
yes.
Storytelling is what you want to do. How does yes. that translate to the mission of who you? In just a couple words, John, what is it? How does that translate to the mission of what you want people to experience with your art, with you as a person? What's your last words with us?
My last word is simply one word, engage. That's it. Engage. If you open your heart to it and your mind to it, then you are part of it. You know, Phantasmagoria's audiences are not audiences. They're part of the story. And that's what I would love them to be.
Mm. John, we could have spent many, many more hours with you. What an incredible time. Thank you for what you do for our community.
Thank you, sir.
Go and check out all the stuff that Phantasmagoria is doing, as well as Valencia College Theater. Also, go check out the Symphonic Cinema Concert with the Central Florida Community Arts Orchestra happening next week, as well as Favo is doing their June art
First
party.
Friday,
yeah, so many other wonderful things happening, including the Maitland Symphony Orchestra, the Fantastics at Winter Park Playhouse. And the list goes on and on. Go to OrlandoAtPlay.com and check out the next wonderful artistic thing you will get to experience. This has been Joshua Vickery and Mary Thompson Hunt with you this evening at From the Heart. We'll see you next time. Magic 107.7
Bye-bye.
FM.
Bye-bye.